Okay, welcome back to another episode. As you can see by the title, today I'm going to be talking about two books that I've read, Don Quixote and The Idiot. I honestly read these two books a long time ago, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, but I always wanted to do an episode on them. I even made some notes on them after I read them, with always this in mind, but I just haven't gotten around to making it. But yeah, the reason I kind of grouped these two books together is they really do have binding similarities in the main characters. And I'll get into more of that. But yeah, I was reading the Idiot, and they refer to the main character in that story, Prince Mishkin, as the poor knight, or kind of referring to Don Quixote. So it's cool how, like, I think of, you know, Dostoevsky's books written in, you know, the late 1800s as classics, you know, written a long time ago, which they indeed are, but, you know, in his time, Don Quixote was a classic. You know, it was written in the 1600s, and it's kind of Don Quixote was like the first main, known as the first modern novel. There wasn't really novels as we know them today back then. They're more like epic tales, tales of chivalry. So yeah, in this episode, I'm going to be mixing in a bunch of different things. I won't be talking about the plots of the stories too much at all. More about, you know, the two main characters themselves, some of their characteristics, the good about them, the bad about them, but mainly why you really end up loving them a lot. So yeah, I'm going to be talking, relating these characteristics to so many different things in life. So it's not going to be about the book or, you know, the characters or what happened. I'm not going to be overanalyzing, you know, specifics about the book, just the main traits. But I will provide just a bit of context about each character. So I'll start off, I guess, with Don Quixote, do this chronologically. He's in the novel, he's this man who has a pretty good life. He has like this farm or ranch type thing. I think he's like fairly wealthy. He isn't like a aristocrat or anything like that, but he has enough time on his hands, let's put it that way, to read a bunch of books about chivalry and about knights. And this was after the time of like knights. It was kind of getting into more modern times, relatively speaking. So, you know, knights that kind of roamed around were a thing of the past and kind of myths. But he just ends up reading so much of these books about, you know, knights slaying dragons and having the, you know, princess in the castle they're trying to get, and doing these epic deeds of courage and always doing the right thing. He essentially goes crazy and decides to become a knight and go around Spain. And he definitely is crazy. He, for example, sees people riding up on horses that, you know, one guy's just a barber, but because he has this metal thing on him, he thinks he's another knight and he tries to fight them. Or he tries to fight windmills because he thinks there's giants, they're giants, which, you know, the windmill scene, it's kind of the most famous thing about that book. But yeah, he ends up going crazy, but he always means very well, which is the like the good part about him. He never does anything bad. And the one thing you can say about him is like he will fight anyone if he thinks it's like the right thing to do, to his detriment. But he has so much courage, always trying to do the right thing, even if it gets him into trouble or he's, you know, interpreting the scenario wrong. So yeah, Don Quixote is definitely a little more crazy than anyone would want to be or anyone would want to model their life after. But the one thing you can say about him is he does have some guts, and he definitely like gets out in the world and goes on an adventure, which essentially is what like all great stories are about. It's about getting out there, adventuring, doing the right thing. And I think that's kind of an analogy for life in general. So, you know, Don Quixote is just a simple man at home. He has a decent life, but he realizes that's not what he wants, and there's, you know, people he can help, and there's, you know, good he can do in this world, even though his interpretation of good is a little bit twisted at certain times. So that's Don Quixote. And Prince Myshkin of the Idiots, he's the main character in that novel. The novel starts with him, he was away in, I believe, Switzerland, getting like treatment for, I think, just being an idiot. It was a while since I've read it, but it wasn't anything like a necessarily physical disability. But essentially, he comes back into Russian society, comes into a lot of money, and finds himself in the high society of Russia at the time. Definitely like a very Machiavellian society, essentially, where people are just, you know, willing to lie. It's almost expected to lie to like get some personal gain. That's just how it goes, you know. And there's kind of similarities to like society even now. I guess it's always been like that. But the interesting part about the story is, although he's kind of dumb or an idiot, he's like the most well-intentioned and like good-hearted person. And then he's placed into this society that's, you know, full of just these like rather bad intentioned people, social climbers. But he's just so principled. He's just like comfortable and confident in his own skin, has his own principles, and he doesn't need like outside validation. And it's just so cool to see these like rich people who are, you know, so powerful in society in the story, yet he's more confident and comfortable because he's like just principled and he's being himself. So like the main thing that binds these two characters, like Don Quixote and Prince Myshkin, is that the main thing is just like courage of what they think is the right thing. And they almost don't even, it doesn't seem like they're necessarily thinking in their head or having much like inner battles. Oh, should I do this? Is the right thing? Maybe they've just done it for so long that it's just like ingrained in them. But they don't care what's like mainstream, what's maybe the right opinion you maybe you're supposed to have. But their inner compass, just inner moral compass, just like over trumps anything. I think that's like the main lesson to take away. These two characters also lack a ton of social intelligence. Like Don Quixote, it's almost comical. Like I won't be talking about him too much today. He's almost very hard to relate to because like how like almost lunatic he is. Prince Myshkin is more relatable because it's kind of in like a societal setting. There's more like everyday scenarios, and yeah, he's definitely more relatable. But yeah, I just wanted to bring up the point that they do lack a lot of social intelligence. So it isn't like a lot of the time they're doing like battling with themselves. Prince, it's almost like an example of what you could be if you had like no debates about what, if you just think it's the right thing, you just do it. Obviously, there's, everything is a gray area. You can't be so stubborn that you're not willing to change, but if you think something's right, you just have to do it. So that's where like the flaws of Don Quixote come in terms of like, he doesn't even question if a windmill is a giant or not. It's a windmill, obviously, but that's obviously a flaw. So yeah, Don Quixote is a bit crazy, but I definitely enjoyed the character, like in terms of analyzing him, Prince Myshkin, a lot more. Yeah, I just loved how people thought he was crazy and like super naive because he was sincere and doing the right thing. Obviously, like I said, he is a bit dumb. Like, he can't tell when people are teasing him. But people want him around. Like, people just love being around him. And that's just because he's so sincere. He's always trying to solve problems. And he's almost similar to, like, Alyosha in The Brothers Karamazov, where he's just so good-hearted. And he's almost projecting onto the world what he wants it to be. And it's kind of the same thing with Don Quixote, but you have to like go out there, interact with people. You can't be shut up in your house and thinking you know what's right, what's wrong. You have to actually like go out there, interact with people, and try to change the world through that way. And Mishkin is a good example of that. He's like so out of place in this like high society, yet he still sticks around. He's still trying to help them solve their problems. He gets teased. He had some bad moments, but he doesn't even question whether he needs to like quit or like not get himself involved in that. So that's what I love about Prince Mishkin. And also these two characters, I'm a big believer in like intentions rather than the result of a single action. Obviously, if you have multiple bad results, you maybe need to question if like you're doing the right thing. But your intentions on a certain scenario is really what determine what you do in future scenarios, how you'd act in a different, if there's like a different variable in the scenario. So these two have like really good intentions. Don Quixote obviously maybe needs to question some of his actions and change his intentions and maybe seek a mental hospital. But that's why you love these characters, because they have good intentions. They actually think they're doing good things. For Mishkin, it's a lot less conscious. He is honestly just like a good person, like, and he doesn't even almost have to try. Direct opposite of like Social Climber. Doesn't expect anything in return, like just does the right thing. He's like the person that if he helps you out and you come over the next day and like help him out with something, he'd be like shocked. He'd be like, why are you here? And there's something to love about that. Is he's just good because it's the like the proper thing to be, rather than wanting anything in return, getting anything out of it, elevating his position. And like the second he meets someone, and I've always said this, like I start with 100% trust in someone, or maybe 80% trust, and then if you get to know them well enough, it goes up to 100. But you start off with like a high level of trust, and that's on them if they break it or lose it. You can't be afraid to, like, I don't say get wronged, but I think the world is much better off, or you know, you yourself would be better off if you just started with a baseline level of trust and like believed in that person to do good. And once people feel like they're trusted, they want to like live up to that. Oh, that he really trusts me. He just maybe told me that, or he lent me $10 and I barely know him. People want to live up to that. Okay, he trusts me. I need to like pay him back in the right amount of time. Or so I think Prince Mishkin especially, like so much you can gain from reading that book. That's what I love about Dostoevsky's books. There isn't always, or often at all, a direct plot. If you were to ask me what the plot is at any point in The Idiot, I couldn't have told you. And that's what kind of makes it a bit of a hard read, especially in the middle portion. But it's just like an analysis of like many social scenarios. It's just like people living life. That's what his books are about. It's not, Crime and Punishment is more an extreme one due to like him killing someone, but they're just like, the best parts of the books are just their everyday conversations. And Mishkin really like is like a hero in that story. And although he's dumb, it's better to be that than, everyone knows someone who's like intelligent, like very high IQ, you know, very rational, but also like kind of cruel and like maybe looks at things too logically. And if I've been a victim of this like a lot, especially in like my early 20s, and I still sometimes do this, but looking at every situation almost like too rationally, too logically. And I think having like blind hope is better. In today's society, like pretending you have the right answer but saying it confidently is so much more, it sells better, it's more flashy, but society looks at people who are like naive or really too idealistic or too kind as like dumb, which I definitely probably think it's better to be, you know, too kind, too idealistic than like too cruel and rational. But again, like most things in life, it's a gray area. But what got me thinking about this was actually in Don Quixote, where, so I also didn't do Don Quixote justice, maybe because it's been too long since I've read it. Although he's crazy, he sometimes like says some of the most wise things ever, like when he kind of checks back to reality and is not confusing the world for things that aren't there. But he's pretty much saying like valor, or essentially courage, occupies a place between two wicked extremes. One extreme would be cowardice, which is not being courageous, knowing what the right thing to do, and not doing it, and you're being a coward. Or temerity, which is a word I had to look up, which is being excessively confident or reckless. And so as I kind of like did some research on that, because I didn't really understand the temerity word, and I got kind of on a rabbit hole. But then I found this whole like philosophical concept, what I was referring to as a gray area, but the golden mean, or the golden middle way. And it's has some Wikipedia page, but I was just on it, and there's this whole chart of like the two extremes, and then the desirable thing is the moral virtue. The desirable thing is in the middle of those things. So like this one's not a very intense one, but the deficiency would be like being too boring. Excess would be being a buffoon or being too wild and crazy. The moral virtue is like wittiness, or what's another one here that's good? Yeah, for example, saying, "Oh, I'm never gonna drink for the rest of my life again. I need to get myself together." That's probably not gonna work out. But if you kind of limit yourself to like, "Oh, maybe I'll go tonight," or like being, you know, temp, like moderating yourself well. There's so many things, like working too much or taking time off vacation. There's definitely like a middle ground. And I think that's the way with so many things in life. And that's definitely something, for example, Don Quixote lacked. He definitely lacked a bit of maybe logical thinking at some points. But that was one thing I really liked about that book. Another thing I liked about Don Quixote is I noted the page down, but he's pretty much talking about being a jack of all trades, because he's trying to be a knight essentially, although he's a bit off his chair. He's essentially talking about the science of knight errantry and being this knight, and you have to have so many skills like fighting and being able to heal and knowing what the right thing to do is, being able to like sing and write poems. And this is something I've honestly used to struggle with more. I have like so many different hobbies, but I'm not like, although I'm doing a PhD, I'm not, I guess I'm an expert in that, but like I don't really see myself as like having that thing as like my whole personality. Or I do think I know a lot, or no, I know a good amount about a lot of things. And I was like, you can't really make money off that, because I don't know, everything's so specialized in today's society. And I guess that's why I have to do a PhD, where you need to like be really, really smart or like focused on one thing. versus like if you know a little bit about a lot of things, it doesn't really pay off in many ways in today's society. You're not gonna, you know, be a guest on a TV show, like a morning show, because you're just this average, I don't even want to say average, but just someone who like knows a lot about random shit. But again, it's about balance, and like it's not balancing good things. Like, think of how many people are wealthy but probably, you know, overweight and not in good mental shape. Or how many people, yeah, are rich and unhappy, rich but have a poor family life. Like, every decision you make has a sacrifice. Whether if you're gonna work 12 hours a day and make money, well, other things will suffer. So, not saying I could have been a knight back in the day, but it's nice how it's, at least the way Don Quixote put it, is like being a knight is a very balanced pursuit. You need to just know a lot about living off the land and traveling, and how to, you know, deal with certain social scenarios, how to fight if it goes down to it. So that's one thing I did like about the book. And I will come back to some more Don Quixote quotes, because I do think I did him a bit dirty. But I do remember him saying some really, really good things. And it's kind of, yeah, just a really good book. It's really long, but there's some really good moments of it. But yeah, as you can probably tell by now, the two main takeaways from, or like, I say takeaways, but the things that I got thinking about from these two characters is like, one is the whole balance thing I'm talking about, and the other is your character and the courage to do what is right. And there's a concept in Stoic philosophy that essentially your character is your fate. So the way I think of that is like how you act, how you treat people, your sense of like what you think is right and wrong determines your trajectory. It's like your moral compass. If you follow it, it'll, you know, direct you, prevent you from getting lost. And in today's, you know, world, we're constantly being told like what to think, how to act, who to support, and you need direction through all of that. And that direction comes from your moral compass. And it definitely is a unique time to be alive with all this information and polarization. But yeah, it's up to you to decide what you think's right and wrong. And I think this is a Marcus Aurelius quote. Don't be put off by other people's comments and criticisms. If it's the right thing, if it's right to say or do it, then it's the right thing to do or say. I just that's something I've gotten a lot better at. Is like saying what I think is right, even if it may not be too popular, because deep down I know what I believe is right. And that's like something I loved about these characters. Although they definitely had their flaws, and you know, maybe they weren't always trying to be as moral as they like were put out to be. They almost were like, Prince Mishkin was like moral, and he was almost like he didn't know what wrong is. So again, that's what it comes back to, this middle and balanced way, where you have to be confident in your convictions and what you think is right, but you also can't be too stubborn, where you stop questioning your beliefs and whether what you think is right is actually right. So again, it's like a middle ground where you have to project onto the world what you think is the right thing to do, but also keep questioning yourself. And if you're under the assumption that one day you'll find the perfect moral code and scenario or way of thinking, then you're probably lost in that sense. I think you always have to be consistently like evaluating how you think. And once you reach that point of maybe thinking you have the right answers, and you stop questioning yourself or you go too far on one of the extremes, and I guess away from the middle, I think you lose a lot. And I think that's why a lot of people will maybe get to, you know, 25, 30 years old, where a lot of your core life experience that really changed the way you think, for example, university, friends you grew up with, parents, all kind of forms into this final shape. And then people don't change from, or many people don't change from, you know, 25 and 30 years old to the day they die. And I think you lose a lot by doing that. I think you almost, like, I'm gonna say cease to live, but like, you're just a bot. You're just, every opinion you have is predictable. You're not questioning yourself or things or your opinions. So yeah, that's what I took away from those two books and like analyzing those characters. There's so much more that can be said in terms of like some of the quotes in the books, or I didn't even mention Sancho Panza or Panza. He's like one of the main characters in Don Quixote, hilarious sidekick. He undergoes some personal development. But yeah, I just thought I'd stick to those two. But yeah, that was like 4 or 5 months ago that I read those books. I really liked them, you know, but they definitely weren't like my favorite books of all time. They're not like masterpieces. But they were good books, and I took away some good things from them. But since then, I've actually read a good amount as well. I did a solo canoe trip in the Algoma region of Ontario at the start of spring. So that would have been the first week of May and the end of April. Yeah, good solo trip. You end up reading so much when you're alone. Cover a lot of distance. And yeah, on that trip, I read Alone Against the North, which is a great outdoors book by Adam Schultz. And Tuesdays with Maury, which is like more of a philosophical book about an old person that's kind of facing death. But I loved Tuesdays with Maury, like such a good quick read, and so much wisdom in that book. So I'd recommend that. I did a 10-day canoe trip in like north of Thunder Bay in Ontario with a few friends, and so much to say about a long trip. Just like being off your phone for 10 days. Yeah, I talk about that more in one of my other episodes. So another great trip. But yeah, since then I've read Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain, who I love Anthony Bourdain. And I love watching his show, and my dad really liked him as well. So I read that book. It was pretty good. It was, if you're into cooking, it was a good book in terms of like the culture of like chefs and that kind of business. But he's really funny in that as an author. And then I read The Hobbit, and then all of The Lord of the Rings, which are legit just like straight up masterpieces. Pretty basic, like everyone knows Lord of the Rings because the movies and stuff, and the movies do them justice for sure. Like, they're not bad movies. They're actually like amazing movies. The books are also really, really good. Could do a whole episode on that. And then I read Beyond the Trees, which is another Adam Schultz book. So yeah, if you're into like outdoors and stuff and want to read some like nonfiction, Adam Schultz has some great books. And then now I'm reading kind of like my first ever sci-fi novel called Hyperion. Right as I finished one of my other books, my friend didn't really give me a choice. He just handed me it and said, "You're reading this next." So I'm actually really liking it. I've never read like a full-on sci-fi, like futuristic, you know, I think it's like 600 years in the future. So there's so much creative, cool things you can do from it. But yeah, it's just a bit of update and some of the books that I really enjoyed lately. Yeah, thanks for listening.